Cat Chat and Dog Talk. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my co-host, Dr. Sean, the natural vet, on our new show. We love cats and dogs and the people who care for them, and we are really excited to have a new show together. We're here to answer any questions you have about your pets. It's live. We're really here in real time. The number is 888, that's 888-627-6008. Write that down. I hope over the months and years that come, you'll actually have it tattooed. It'll be easier for you. 888-627-6008. We would love to hear from you. Cat Chat and Dog Talk is a production of Eight Paws LLC and Dr. Sean Messonnier DVM PC, which are solely responsible for its content. And we'd like to thank our sponsors, Waruva Pet Food, Precious Cat Litter, and Nordic Naturals Omega 3 Fish Oil, for helping us to be here. Hey, Dr. Sean, how fun is this?
I am looking forward to this, Tracy. Thanks so much.
Oh, it's so cool. Dr. Sean and I, many of you who listen to us on the Martha channel of Sirius XM, you sometimes listen to both of us or maybe just one of us, but we have often been on each other's shows, on our old shows, and we thought, why not team up together? We both have similar ideas about some things and different ideas about other things, and that makes life interesting. So we'd really love to have you call us, because a lot of people couldn't call us before, Sean. If they weren't paying $21 a month to Sirius XM, they didn't have the ability to reach us. So,
and you know what's nice? Now everybody can call us. There's no excuse not to listen to you and me and really have some fun and learn about pets.
Yeah, exactly. And let us get to know you so that over time you can call us back if we give you some advice, give us a raspberry if it didn't work, and give us a big high five if it did. And to give you guys the number again, it's 888-627-6008. We are in the 22nd century, and we are on the internet and on people's smartphones and iPads, and it's just a hoot. I'm loving it. Patricia is on line one. Doug, let's on line three. Let's talk to her. Hey, Patricia, welcome to – you're our very first caller on Cat Chat and Dog Talk. How cool are you?
Great, Tracy. We've been like for a couple of weeks.
Well, it's wonderful to have you here. You have been so kind as to buy just recently 4 dog Bibles and 1 cat Bible. You're trying to convert all of your friends to stop serving dry food to their kitties, right?
Yes.
Well, you keep on keeping on, lady. Have you ever met Dr. Sean Messonnier, the natural vet? Have you ever listened to his show before?
No, we haven't.
You haven't listened to my show in all these years, really?
Well, here we are. Now you got
to hear me now.
I'm lucky. Well, the problem is we're in our cars half the time, and we get little bits and pieces.
Yeah.
I know. That was hard about Sirius. And, you know, that's one of the nice things about the internet now. You probably could listen to us in your cars, but it's easier just sitting down at home and not having to worry about calling and listening and driving at the same time. That always worried me about a lot of our listeners. We got a lot of people driving, which was fun. I was always kind of concerned they might be paying more attention to me than the road, so it's good that we've got this new format.
And then the other thing to know, Patricia, I know you have a lot of friends and you all have a lot of dog life together, which I'm actually a bit jealous of. Describe how you and your friends and your dogs all kind of live together in one community.
Right. We live in a gated community, which golfers, and I've got two of our other friends, Tristan and George, here that have Tab and Sierra. And everybody walks dogs. Tristan and I walk her dogs in the morning at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Wow. In El Dorado, and you're in El Dorado Hills, California, right?
Yes. It's just east of Sacramento.
Oh, that's
nice.
Great. Yeah.
Nice. Well, you know, what's great about we're breaking up a little bit, so we have to figure out why that is, but she's – I don't know why that is. Maybe it's sort of like the way this is done, it's a little bit like when people are on a cell phone. Are you on a cell phone?
Yeah.
So that's okay. Anyone listening that wants to call in, I just want to give the number again if you want to reach us. It's 888 727-6008. Cell phones, if you, like with any cell phone call, just try and make sure you have a really strong signal so that you come through nice and strong. Patricia, we love the idea that you all share your love of dogs and walk them together and share advice and information. And like, you've got to be everyone's best friend. You're buying them all dog Bibles. We would love to send Whole Life Pet Treats to all of you and your friends because they are the most amazing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So you That'd guys are the first callers, and they're delicious. And Dr. Sean's going to start giving them away as gifts to all of his clients in his Paws and Claws clinic. He has his very own holistic vet clinic in Plano, Texas, which doesn't help you and me, but the people in Texas are thrilled. And it's really marvelous for the great thing about a holistic vet, which is that, you know, Sean, you don't turn first to a pill bottle. You always turn to nutrition, right, and to wellness.
That's right. And that's one of the reasons I'm glad we've got some great sponsors that are also focused on nutrition. And like you're saying, these are great, great treats. I was talking to actually some of my clients today, letting them know we're going to get some of these treats for them as well. So already my clients are getting excited about not just because it's free, but because it's good and free, which I think is great.
I love that. And but Patricia, they're all human grade protein. They're freeze dried by hand. I've been there. I've watched them do it myself. And it's everything from chicken to chicken liver to beef to venison to fish to cheese curds. Oh, my God. What don't they have? So you guys are going to get – I have your address, luckily. Otherwise, anyone who's listening, you don't have to be the one who's calling in. And you know what the truth is? If you're listening like tomorrow or the next day on podcast, because we will podcast this show, which is the other thing, Sean, no one could ever listen to our shows. Our shows on Sirius were kind of like the newspaper. You know, yeah. It was like gone. It was there and then it was gone. So there will be a library of all these shows, fun to listen to. But anyone that wants to get Whole Life Pet Treats, Patricia and her pals are going to get like the jumbo package. But just
they're going
to
have a whole bunch, yes.
Yeah, a whole lot. They're going to be full of protein.
We have such a good group here. And my friends, Tristan and George, they have older dogs. And so they go into age, one of them has really bad arthritis, right? His shoulders.
Well, both Sean and I really believe in glucosamine and chondroitin and omega-3 fish oils. There's a lot of wonderful things that you can do to help ease that pain. Both petcarenaturally.com is Dr. Sean's website, and then my website is radiopetlady.com. And I really recommend that you spend some time there. Just, you know, put in joint pain or arthritis or senior dogs, and we both have not exactly always this exact same advice, right, Sean? But we think the same way.
Yeah, we both kind of focus on natural therapies. I know also if you go to my site, petcarenaturally.com, you can actually get some of the supplements from my natural store and also from some of the different manufacturers that we talk about on our show that I actually have used in practice for years. So I know this stuff works. So it's really good quality information and good quality supplements. So visit both sites because you're going to get different opinions, but similar opinions about the same health problems that you've been discussing, Pat.
Which is sort of you get like two for the price of one with Dr. Sean. And
absolutely.
And so then he's taking a pill right now, Tracy, that's spelled
Rimadyl. Well, you know, right. Dr. Sean and I basically would rather, you know, that pets don't have to take anti-inflammatories that are chemicals. But on the other hand, the NSAIDs, as they're called, right, Sean, at some point you have to depend on them if the pain is so bad that walking becomes a problem.
Yeah, so, Pat, let me ask you, what breed of dog are we talking about that's taking the Rimadyl?
Okay, I've got my Tristan here.
He's a Gordon Setter.
Gordon Setter. Okay, how old is he?
14.
Well, that's really good. Well, good for you. You've taken great care of him. So how often are you giving him Rimadyl?
It's half in the morning and half at night.
All right. And what happens if you don't give him Rimadyl? Like if you skip a dose, does he get sore? Is he not able to walk? What happens if you don't give it to him for a couple of doses?
I've only missed when he stiffens up.
Yeah.
All right. Well, like Tracy said, if you can use some sort of joint supplement, glucosamine, chondroitin, there's some different products. Like I said, there's some links on my website to some of the different products we use. The problem with the NSAIDs, and I was glad you didn't say this was a retriever because that really scares me. when I hear about retrievers that are taking NSAIDs, specifically Rimadyl, because there are cases of fatalities in Labrador retrievers particularly. So the way that I use drugs like Rimadyl, and I don't use Rimadyl anymore, but the way that I use drugs like that, the NSAIDs, is we put the pets on a good joint supplement. If you have access to a holistic vet, you can get acupuncture, chiropractic, cold laser, etc. Then I use the NSAIDs like Rimadyl on an as-needed basis, which means a very low dose, not the labeled dose, but a low dose on days that are painful. And I'll tell you what, most of the pets in my practice rarely get an NSAID unless it's a real bad day, because these joint supplements work so well, laser works well, herbal therapies work well, homeopathy works well. So you can really help heal the joints as well as get the anti-inflammatory relief without relying on the drugs that can cause kidney problems, liver problems, GI problems. And if your dog's going to be taking Rimadyl or any NSAID on a regular basis, they really should be seeing the veterinarian every 3 months for blood and urine testing to make sure we're not causing kidney failure, liver failure, or GI ulcers. So getting them off the Rimadyl will decrease your cost, because the drug costs a lot of money. Plus, you have all these ancillary tests that you really need to do to make sure we're not harming the pet with these drugs.
So all of that is really good advice. I personally always say that Nordic Naturals omega-3 fish oil. Sean uses a different brand in his practice, but a lot of the research that's being done at the vet colleges, they're actually using Nordic Naturals as the omega-3 fish oil that they're using it to test. And I just was talking to a guy today on Dog Talk. The show will be in a few weeks. I don't know if you, Sean, if you know of Dr. Joe Bardich. He's a very big guy in nutrition at University of Tennessee. And he said that one of the problems with the omega-3 fish oils is that people are not giving a high enough amount, that they need a very much bigger serving and dose. And the only people that know that are the holistic vets. Patricia and all you guys, I love you guys. Patricia, drop me an email to radiopetlady@gmail.com. Tell me how many people you walk with, and that's how big the box will be of whole life pet samples that's coming. You may need a forklift, although it's freeze-dried, so it's light as air. But we have to go to another call. We have so many wonderful people calling.
Tracy?
Yes.
Kristen's going to email you to ask you some more questions. But I'll email them to you.
Yes, and what thank you guys for calling in, for having such a great life with your pets. We want everybody's email address, because every single week we're going to send out special offers, special information, a recap of what the show was the previous week. So bring it on, radiopetlady@gmail.com, and Dr. Sean, his website is petcarenaturally.com. Don't deluge him with email. He's not that kind of a guy. He's actually being a vet all day doing surgery. I'm the one who has to do the schlepping. So I'll be the schlepper. RadioPetLady@gmail.com. We're going to be a scary pair, the two of us. Well, we're thrilled you guys called, really. Okay. We're very, it meant a lot. It means a lot to us. And we have other callers, too. So we're really excited that all of our old pals have found us on the new show. You guys have a great night, and thank you so much for calling.
Take care.
Thanks, Pat. Take care.
We're going to take a little break right now so you can hear a little bit about our sponsors. And when we come back, we have Nadine on the phone and Allison. We have great calls. And we also have a question about early neutering. So put on your thinking cap, Dr. Sean. We'll be right back. Support for Cat Chat and Dog Talk comes from Nordic Naturals and their Nordic Pet Collection, which was developed to provide your dog or cat with the same premium quality omega-3 nutrition as their human products. Research has shown that even the best pet diets are deficient in the essential fatty acids found in their omega-3 oils. Nordic Naturals uses only sustainably sourced wild fish from healthy stocks for their omega-3 products. Third-party testing is used to guarantee purity and freshness, and all oils surpass strict international standards for omega-3 fish oil quality. Nordic Natural Omega Pet products are available at nordicnaturals.com and at petflow.com. Support for Dog Talk comes from Waruva, food for cats and little dogs made in a facility that makes people food, which means the ingredients are good enough for people to eat. Waruva does not make any dry food because they know that true health for cats, who are obligate carnivores, means they should eat only meat. All varieties of Waruva and their more economical BFF, Best Feline Friend brand, are available at PetFlow.com, which is also a supporter of this program, with special offers on my website, RadioPetLady.com. Support for Dog Talk comes from Precious Cat, owned by Dr. Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian whose litters are designed to appeal to kitties and protect their health.
Cat Attract litter has a blend of herbs which entice cats into the litter box. Respiratory Relief litter is low dust for pussycats with asthma, which makes it healthy for people and other pets in the family too. Support for Dog Talk also comes from PetFlow.com, which carries all the precious cat litters with special offers on my website, RadioPetLady.com.
Well, we are back, and we have Nadine on line four. Doug, welcome to the show, Nadine. We're very excited to have you as one of our very first callers.
Yes, thank you.
It's okay, a pleasure. Do you have a question for us?
Yes, can you hear me?
Absolutely.
Okay, I've got a 10-month-old cat. In the last 2.5 months, I've seen blood in his poop and some mucousy material. I took him in for a fecal test, and it was negative for parasites. And he's had some soft poop on and off, so the last 6 weeks I've been giving him 2 teaspoons of pumpkin a day and 2 teaspoons of slippery elm syrup a day. Is there anything else I should be concerned about with the blood or the soft poop?
Well, the first question is, what are you feeding? That's always my number one question.
I knew you'd ask that.
Well, of course I'm going to ask that, because if you're feeding dry food, then there can't be any health with your kitty, in my view. But Dr. Sean may have another slot. Are you feeding dry food to your cat?
He gets a little dry. I plan to cut him off when he gets. I'm trying to get him as many calories in as possible since he's a growing cat, but mainly like 80% high quality canned food. And
well, that's
then
very
a little
good.
Dry that I give him is grain free.
That's good.
That's good. And Dr. Sean is different than me because we're two totally separate people with our own brains, and he doesn't mind a little bit of dry food. I absolutely mind any dry food because, to me, it's like the kid that you give, okay, you can have just one donut. Or, you know, the kid that you say,
now,
okay.
There's nothing wrong with the donut, Tracy. Come on.
Oh, see, this is Dr. Sean. I love him. This is great. You know what we should have for a sponsor is Dunkin' Donuts. Wouldn't that be hilarious?
No, you gotta get Krispy Kreme if we're going to have donuts.
Krispy Kreme, of course, yes.
Go.
Really scary. You know, Nadine, it's hard to – I personally would say that if you could get him off the kitty crack 100% and then tell me what happens in the litter box with it completely gone. And Sean and I love and respect each other, and it's great fun to agree to disagree about some things. But just like some people are much more sensitive to carbs and much more sensitive to what is done to make kibble, there are some dogs and cats, but particularly cats, that have a bigger reaction to it. So if he's feeding just – if he's eating just really high-quality canned food, then – and nothing else, then we'll know if that food, and it can be a food that costs a fortune and says it's no grain, in the end of the day, it's a highly processed carb in order to make dough, in order to make kibble. So that would be the very first thing that I do. And if you want to give them something crunchy, you write to me at radiopetlady@gmail.com, and guess what comes to your house? Whole Life Pet Treats that are made of pure protein, and they're crunchy. So if you want them to crunch, because crunching is fun, like us eating popcorn, then let it be on a protein. How do you feel about the pumpkin, Sean?
All right. Well, I should also tell, because Tracy and I talked about this even before we started doing our show here together. You know, when I get cat owners that come to me, we talk about diet, I will tell them, and I agree with Tracy on this totally, canned food I think is always best. Or if you want to prepare something at home or raw, whatever you want to do is fine.
Right.
As Tracy pointed out, in the wild, cats and their relatives really don't have a strict dietary carbohydrate requirement like dogs do, because dogs tend to be omnivores. People tend to be omnivores. Now, there are times in my practice where I really, really try to encourage people to feed only canned or wet food for cats. And that is for pets with diabetes, because we know dry food can cause diabetes in some cats. Cats with kidney disease, bladder disease, et cetera, and especially older cats, since they tend to get more kidney and bladder and diabetic problems. But as I told Tracy, you know, it's like you're saying, Nadine, you know, I also have to work every day with many, many different clients that will tell me either their cats won't eat it, or it's too much trouble, or it costs too much money. So I always have to kind of go from an aspect of, I know what's the best in theory and why we agree on that.
Right.
But I also have pet owners that I have to say, okay, if you can't do what the ideal goal is, let's do the next best thing. And as Tracy said, maybe we can do something else crunchy. Maybe we can do half and half, dry and canned. So we're always kind of working towards the goal. But I have clients I have to kind of be happy with and make sure they're happy and just let them know the facts. So as Tracy said, canned food would be best. I think if we can get to a good quality canned food, that's the first step. Checking for parasites, which you've done, is good. Normally, if I have a kitten or a cat that's had diarrhea for a few months, I'm doing more than one parasite check. I'll do several in my office.
Right.
I'll screen them for bacteria or yeast. Sometimes we'll do cultures. I would have your vet check them for Giardia, which they can send out to the lab. That's easy to do. Canned pumpkin is fine for more fiber, but I think also you have to look at, can we heal the GI system? Fatty acids like the Nordic Naturals would be fine. I'd go at least double the label dose.
That's a very good advice because there's inflammation there. That's extremely good advice,
and that's going to help with the inflammation. Mm-hmm. Probiotics.
My cats always get Prozyme. They get new cat vitamins, and they get fish oil.
Okay, and all three of those are fine. What I would probably add to that, and there are different manufacturers that do different brands. In our practice, we use Vet Classics, and I use RX Vitamins, and a little bit of the Vetri Science, which makes the new cat. I would do – you're already doing the enzymes with the Prozyme. The new cat's a good vitamin. That's fine. You're doing the fatty acids. That's fine too. But try to find like a GI supplement and or a probiotic. And if you'll go to my site, petcarenaturally.com, click on recommended supplements. There are links there to some of the different companies I just mentioned. You can look at the products, see what you like, see what's cost effective for you. At my own natural pet store site, I don't have anything up there right now for GI supplements. We're constantly adding products. But I think finding something like NutriGest, which is made by RX Vitamins, or RX Biotics, which is made by RX Vitamins, would be helpful. Still pursue with your doctor diagnostic testing if it hasn't already been done. Try the canned food. And I think with some combination of those, you're going to find something that works for your little kitty.
And the only thing that I would add to that.
80% canned food.
So you've got to go to 100%. I'm telling you, Nadine, that you'll be surprised. You know, you're not that difficult client that Sean has where he has to be diplomatic and go, okay, 50-50. It needs to be strict. It's, you know, for some people can have a drink a day and be fine. Other people, it throws them into, you know, I don't know, they get drunk immediately. It's you know, everyone's metabolism is different. In order to find out what's really going on in that GI tract, you've already got the fish oil on board. There's no need to give a cat vitamins if he's eating a proper canned food. It's already completely full of vitamins. So that's just a waste of time and money. They're just pooping or peeing it out. In his case, not just nice poop. Go with all wet and then see what happens because you're already on such a healthy track. But definitely send me to RadioPetLady@gmail.com. Be sure you send your mailing address because you need those whole life pet treats, okay? We're really glad you called. We're very excited to have you as part of our first show. Thank you so, so much. Take care.
Thanks,
and call again. We're here every Tuesday night at the same old time. It's great to talk to you. We want to know, we really would like to know how that kitty does, right, Sean?
Yeah, give us follow-up.
Follow-up is what we want.
What about the slippery elm that he's getting with the pumpkin? Is that still okay to continue?
Oh, the pumpkin's fine. Yeah, if he eats it well.
And the slippery elm's okay, but the thing is, Nadine, take away the kitty crack. Take away the dry food. And then worry about what you've got. You don't have a baseline of total health because you're feeding an obligate carnivore highly processed carbs. So let's get to the total health, okay? Terrific that you called. Make sure you write in to RadioPetLady@gmail.com. We'll be thrilled to hear from you. We have Allison online too, Doug. Hey, Allison, welcome to Cat Chat and Dog Talk.
Well, thank you, Tracy. I'm glad to be here.
Now, Sean, I need to introduce you to the official dog trainer of Dog Talk, who is also the official dog trainer now long distance of my dogs, who is just a wonderful person. Anyone who lives anywhere on the east end of Long Island and has any kind of a behavior problem with their dog, Allison is the go-to person.
Well, Allison, thank you for calling our show. It's good to meet you.
It is. It's terrific.
Nice to meet you, Dr. Sean. Actually, I'm calling for a question for you this evening.
All right.
I have a 14-month-old English Springer Spaniel who, after the hurricane we had here, we had to limit my dog's access to the backyard because we lost all of our fences and we had trees down.
Wow.
She was off, you know, her regular exercise routine almost for 6 weeks. I had noticed that she had always had a misshapen forepaw pad on her left front leg. And as time went on, without her running and doing her usual crazy laps around the yard with my other dogs, it started to grow and grow and grow. Once she began running again, we noticed a limp at the end of October, beginning of November. Brought her to the vet, and the usual vet I saw was not in that day. They did an x-ray of her foot because that vet thought maybe she had dislocated her toe It was kind of hanging down.
Front paw.
It turns out it was a keratitis.
What is it?
Keratitis. That's basically a thickening of the cuticle, kind of, isn't it, keratitis?
Well, keratitis really is an eye problem. So what is her diagnosis again?
No, keratosis.
Keratosis?
Of the pad, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's actually keratin has gone wild and kind of created a nail-shaped form where there shouldn't be a nail.
It's a very hard, kind
of rock-like formation, almost like a corn.
Okay, so it looks like a corn.
But not the same thing, because instead of, you know, a corn would grow in, the keratosis grows out.
Okay, so what does her pad look like if you're looking at it right now?
Well, what it looked like was almost a 3/4 inch growth on her pad.
Coming out from the pad.
So my vet was concerned because she'd never seen a growth quite like that. Referred me to a specialist who really wanted to do something that seemed quite radical, and neither my husband nor I were comfortable with what the treatment plan was going to be.
We sought out an experienced vet
with greyhounds who are notorious for getting these toe pad forms.
Yes.
And she said, oh, that's a keratosis. I can scrape it off. Lo and behold, she did last Wednesday, and each day – my dog was able to put more and more pressure on her foot until Sunday night. I mean, she started running in the yard again, and she was just acting like herself.
Yes.
Last Wednesday when we brought her in, she was to the point where she was literally hopping. She would put no pressure on that foot. So it was kind of like having a giant stone in your shoe.
Allison, can you hear me at all? Whoa, 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 whoa. We got to all stop. Everyone's talking over each other. Just, Allison, come up for air a couple of times. We're asking you questions. You must be on a cell phone.
Oh, sorry, I couldn't hear you at all.
Can you hear me at all?
Doug, are we doing okay here? Because Allison is not hearing us interrupt her.
Can you hear me, Allison?
Now I can, yes. Sorry, Beth.
You can hear me. Okay, so she was limping after the surgery or before the surgery?
No, she was limping before
And then they did the scraping, and then she got better?
Correct.
Okay, so she's not limping right now since she had the surgery?
She was not limping at all until Sunday evening.
Okay.
And then she started limping again.
Same foot?
Same foot.
Okay,
there is no new growth.
So what does the pad look like now?
It looks it's still a little bit misshapen.
All right.
But there's no growth on the bottom of the pad.
Okay, so before we go back and do more surgery, and you already said they took some x-rays, that's fine. But one easy thing, and this is a time if you want to use a little conventional medicine, fine. If not, if you have a holistic vet, like I said, in our practice, we use a lot of herbal pain medicines. We'll use cold laser therapy for pain. So when I give information out on our show, I never know what you have access to. So if you wanted to try a trial dose of something like a nonsteroidal at a low dose or something like tramadol, which is kind of related to morphine, that would be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you have access to a holistic vet, like I said, for pain control in our practice, we've got probably 20 different herbs, homeopathics, cold laser, et cetera. But the question I'm going after is this simply a painful thing that maybe a little medicine or natural therapy or both will resolve the pain and she'll get right better? Or is this something that it's not helping and maybe there's still something deeper in that pad that might require another look? Maybe another surgery. I know you didn't want to do the deeper surgery like they do for the greyhounds with the corns, but unfortunately, there are some cases I see where surgery really is like the only good option. In greyhounds with corns, I don't have anything natural that works really well because those corns are growing internally in the pad. So, you know, once again, something for pain, inflammation, natural, conventional drug, either way is fine. If not better, maybe revisiting the surgeon who did the surgery. Or worst case, considering the specialist she went to the first time as a possibility of could there be something deeper we just didn't get? And I don't know the answer to that because I'm not there with her. These are just suggestions for you.
Sure.
But it's a
Today
very
we
curious.
Went back to it's, my – sorry?
It's a curious situation. I've never heard of something like this. I must say this is one of those situations that really is a reminder to people that having pet insurance is exactly for this sort of situation.
Perfect idea.
People think, well, she's young and she's healthy, I'll get it later. Allison, how many times have I nagged you about getting health insurance? Mm-hmm. I mean, nagged you. I nag everybody. And here's this gorgeous, you know, you get the best breeder. You waited for this puppy. You've rescued so many dogs. You take so many dogs into your house. You finally get yourself the perfect puppy from the perfect breeder. Everyone needs pet insurance because a freaky, dopey little thing like this can run into thousands of dollars by the time you go to Dr. A, B, C, and you still
may not even
have
an answer yet. You're still spending money trying to get there. Yeah,
precisely. No solution yet. So I don't mean to berate you and hit you over the head, but I hope that other people in hearing this can say, wow, what if I was in Allison's shoes? I got to have – my puppy's got to put her foot down, right?
Sure.
So it's
– absolutely.
It's a very interesting situation.
I always like to learn from our callers. So
yes.
After you get some more investigation done, call us back in a week or so. Email Tracy. You can email me through my website either way. But call us back so we can always share. That's how we all learn. I don't know everything.
Absolutely.
I just give suggestions.
That's so true. You know, and you know that too about training. You could come into a situation you've never been in before, and talking to another trainer or to another owner, you get an insight you didn't have before. So we like the ones that stump us. We'd rather, you know, hear about things we've never heard about and help you figure it out kind of on the sidelines and just kind of be your cheerleaders, right?
Absolutely. And
I want to stump you a little further because I did take her back today.
All right.
And the lymph node in her shoulder of that same leg is very swollen.
And just one lymph node or multiple lymph nodes?
Just one.
So what did the doctor do about that?
He put her on 65 milligrams of Baytril.
Okay.
Because she had been on, I guess, prophylactically an antibiotic. So this is a stronger, I guess it's a broader antibiotic.
Yeah, okay.
Because we're really not sure.
All right, so let me tell you what I would do in this situation.
Step on something, and there's actually an abscess underneath this, and that caused it.
Okay, we have to.
Because it's my understanding.
Okay, let me just tell you one other thing.
We have to kind of wrap this up because we have lots of other callers.
And I want to get to those callers, so we both do. But let me just tell you one other thing that I would do in a situation like this. I hate to just jump into antibiotics, but if I have anything swollen on a dog, I'm sticking a needle in their aspirin and looking under the microscope because a swollen lymph node – first of all, is it a lymph node or something else? It's probably a lymph node. But why is it swollen? Looking at it microscopically can give us some information. So if you try the Baytril, it ought to help within a few days. If it's not helping, we need to reevaluate that lymph node.
So do some of that
and call us back.
Call us back. I would agree 100%. I have no veterinary degree, but definitely biopsy, needle biopsy right in the office of anything that's swollen. We've got to go to our next caller, Allison, but we're sorry that you're having to deal with this, and we want to learn more and help you from the sidelines as best we can. So call back in next week and tell us what happened next.
Thanks so much for joining us.
We'll keep our paws crossed for her.
Absolutely.
We're going to be in just 1 minute with Steve on the phone, another person I can't wait to introduce you to, Dr. Sean. But I want to take a little break for this word on behalf of, well, guess what? Pet Care Naturally. Dr. Sean has been practicing holistic medicine for most of his veterinary career and has developed a number of healthy natural products for his patients. You can order many of these therapies to keep your own pets healthy and happy, like itch relief shampoo, all natural herbal ear wash, Olive Leaf Plus to support the immune system. He has many cancer patients. And CI Support, his number one supplement for pets with cancers and immune diseases. Simply visit petcarenaturally.com to learn more about the best natural therapies he has for your pet and take advantage of his monthly specials. Steve Pawlowski is on line 3, and this man is the head of PetSmart Charities. So, Steve, you just like do good deeds all day long, right?
Hi, Tracy. Well, I don't know if I'm the head of PetSmart Charity. Thanks for the promotion, though.
You deserved it. You earned it.
Well, thank you. I can give you the 2 cent tour of PetSmart Charities, but we're the largest funder of companion animal welfare efforts in North America. So we fund animal welfare groups throughout North America for adoptions, for spay-neuter initiatives, for emergency relief, and for a variety of programs that save pets' lives. So It's all good stuff.
It's really great, and you don't get enough credit for it. I just want to say not enough people know that PetSmart has this completely separate entity that does incredible good deeds, like, you know, transport wagons where they get – they help the ASPCA and the Humane Society of the United States, and you guys provided – there was an emergency – this is like the killer thing, and he does have a question for us, Dr. Sean.
Okay, sure.
There was an emergency shelter in Brooklyn after Hurricane Sandy that went up. Rachel Ray gave $500,000 to turn a space, a huge industrial space, into an enormous shelter. And the ASPCA in New York helped run it. PetSmart supplied every single bowl, collar, leash, cage, crate, every single physical thing. And, you know, I just, my mind boggles. You do this all the time.
PetSmart Charities, make sure to make the distinction, because we are a separate 501c3, which is important.
I know that.
So we're able
Which
is the key. We just want to make sure there's a distinction, obviously, with the close relationship with PetSmart. But,
sure.
Our volunteers and our associates actually bagged up 100 tons of pet food following Hurricane Sandy and worked with the American Red Cross. For the first time in Red Cross's history, they distributed pet food along with human supplies during emergency relief deployment. So it's really, really amazing.
It's really cool. Okay, now you have an outside-the-box pooping kitty. You have two perfect, gorgeous cats, one of whom has decided, the heck with the box. I think I'll poop here instead. Describe
exactly
the problem. Because litter box pooping and peeing questions are some of my very favorites, because there's always a little something personal in the story. Like, you know, what happened at some time in that kitty's life that she was using the box and then decided, never mind. So describe your cats.
Right.
Describe how many boxes you have and where they're placed.
Well, I heard you say you like a challenge, and obviously I work around animal welfare professionals all day, and everyone's trying to help me. So here's your challenge.
Okay.
Yes, two amazing kitties. They're about 4.5 years old. They're sisters, best of friends. So there's no intimidation factor around the litter box or food or anywhere else. We have two kitties, three litter boxes. So 1.5 per cat,
from what I understand,
is the way to go.
Yep.
The boxes are in a quiet office, so not in a laundry room, no noise. They are in a corner, and I know that's probably not the best location, but they're in a corner. The house is mostly tile, okay? And I understand about the splashback factor, which they don't like as well. So when Nate chooses to go outside the box, it's either on an area rug, underneath the dining room table, or in the master bedroom, which is carpeted.
Okay, so I'm already going to jump right in because I already hear a big fat problem. First of all, you think there was no evil eye given by one sister to the other. Do you have sisters, Steve? Do you have any idea how horrible sisters could be to each other? You see them playing nice in front of daddy. She's been flipping the bird to that other cat. I assure you that intimidation where there's multiple cats does take place. And one of the places you see the problem is that it sounds like you have all three litter boxes together. You might as well just have one. Are they all three right next to each other?
They're in separate corners of the room, but in the same room.
Okay, so that's the problem, is that you have all three in one room, and I understand you don't want to make your house a panorama of poop spots.
Right.
But on the other hand, there aren't different choices about where to go and when to go, and all it takes is for one sister to sit in the doorway when the other one wants a little privacy and go, really? That's what you want to do? No, never mind. I didn't really want to. The dining room carpet's fine for me. So if you have them all in the same area, then that intimidation can take place. There are cats that want to poop in one box and pee in another, and they're very specific about that. I don't know how big your boxes are. I've seen a picture of your girls. They're big, beautiful girls. Are the boxes really generous sized? Is there any? Is there anything where they get in the box and have to be crowded?
They're actually sweater boxes, so they're the largest size sweater boxes you can find, with about 2 inches of litter in each.
That sounds great. What brand of litter?
It is a scented litter.
Okay, you're already in bingo. There we go. Now, here's the thing about scented. Cats have a more sensitive nose than even dogs. Cats, their number one sense is the sense of smell. People think, oh, dogs, you know, they're great hunters and so forth. No, cats pick up odors from across a room. Anything that comes in your house that's new, they mark it or are curious because it smells different. Even paper bags, plastic bags, someone's purse, someone's shoes, they're very scent oriented. The most rude thing you could do to a cat is buy a litter that smells good to humans. That would be pine, lemon, any smell at all. It's detestable to cats. You're lucky she used it at all.
And
you probably have to throw away the sweater box because the odors that are put into these litters by companies that are not thinking the way a cat thinks, but how a person thinks, the person opens it, goes, ah, it smells marvelous, like, you know, fragrant flowers in a field. Nah, never mind. It should have no smell at all. But on the other hand, what you're going to do, and I'm going to send you a coupon for Precious Cat Cat Attract Litter, because you happen to have written me and told me you got the cat Bible, and everyone who gets one gets a coupon, but you'd have one anyway. You're going to throw away the box because it's going to be very, very hard to get that odor out of the box. The plastic of those kind of storage boxes, which are a great use for a litter box, they get absorbed into the plastic. So out goes the box. Okay, it's just not worth it to try and scrub it and dry it and all that stuff. And you're going to get Cat Attract Litter. PetFlow.com carries it. If you do not, I mean, it sounds crazy. You know, you're with PetSmart Charities. You probably get the fabulous discount at normal PetSmart. But PetFlow, it comes through the mail, and you don't have to pay for any shipping. And you're going to put the 2 inches of Cat Attract Litter in a box. There's going to be, you probably don't live in a teeny tiny house. You live in Arizona where houses can be a decent size. And, you know, it'd be much better to have a box in the laundry room because it's a little bit of a myth that cats are terrified by the dryer going on. A cat walks into the laundry room, the dryer doesn't spontaneously turn on. It's either on or it's off, right? So I don't think we have to worry that much about it. I'd rather see boxes with Cat Attract Litter in them in different places. So there's different options. I would get some Feel Away. Dr. Sean sells Feel Away spray. What they sell in box stores is not Feel Away. It's a much weaker version of it. Dr. Sean, on your website, Pet Care Naturally, you may not have the Feel Away there yet, but if anybody writes to you at Pet Care Naturally, you will get them the vet strength of Feel Away, right?
Yes, actually, I'm glad we spoke about this because you and I have been talking about this for a few days. I'm expecting to have some within the next day or two. So pictures will be up on the website, petcarenatural.com. And then it's not a big deal. You can order it right through the little natural store there at petcarenatural.com, the spray or the plug-in, whatever you want. And sometimes both works real well.
Yes.
So I would do that. I agree with everything Tracy said. Also, if the cats like treats, I use the product called Stress Away from Vet Classics. That's a little treat. It has some chamomile, a couple of other herbs in there. That plus the Feel Away, I think, is really good. And replacing it, the Cat Attract Litter Tracy talked about, I use that for my cats. They love it. It actually smells pretty good, even though it's not scented. It's a pretty good smell. They also actually include something. I don't know how you feel about this, Tracy, but they have a chlorophyll-type additive that if the box starts to smell or if the cat's a little hesitant to use the litter, it actually attracts the cat towards the box. If my box starts to smell, I'll actually not just clean it out, but use some of that chlorophyll cat attract additive to it, just a little bit, and that seems to work real well too. So I think all those instructions you gave have worked real well. And like Tracy said, cats are very weird about litter boxes. You know, you can have a cat that loves a dirty litter box. Another one won't go near a box. Another cat's even walked by. So it's very individual what's going to work best. But I think she gave you some great ideas to start with, Steve.
And if I met the challenge, you know, because I am the litter box queen, so I'll be really happy if I did. The Feel Away is basically a pheromone that's a synthetic copy of the cheek gland. It's not an odor. It's something that cats can sense. And it will lower any stress levels. And if you spray it where the cat has pooped before, first clean it with a antibacterial, anti-enzymatic cleaner, which Dr. Elsie makes one called Urine Removal Program. It's not the catchiest name in the world. You need something that's antibacterial and anti-enzymatic. Then spray it with Feel Away. Cats will not poop where the cheek gland odor is. So,
and also, just let me interrupt you. Whenever you're cleaning the area or the litter boxes for any cat with any sort of problem, don't use ammonia-containing products because urine and ammonia are basically the same chemical if you look at them chemically.
Yes.
So
yes.
Ammonia for dog or cat elimination problems sometimes makes the pet go more in that area. So no ammonia, plain water and vinegar works great for me.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Great. So, all right, great. Steve, we're going to want to hear back from you. Your Cat Attract coupon is in the mail, so you'll get a whole free jug of it, but I think you'll be pretty pleased. When I said cats hate odors, they do, but these are actually herbs that attract the cat in the way, not like catnip, but in the way that catnip, which is itself a plant or an herb, can be a very attractive to a cat. So we have our paws crossed for you, and for those sisters who are like, one of them is like holding your little paw up and going, he doesn't know what I said to her behind his back. This will foil her. We're going to foil the naughty sister, okay?
Thank you,
the naughty
Steve.
One That's is right. the one who's scared. And thanks a lot, Steve, for the call. Take care and have
I
a great night.
I appreciate your time and advice.
It was
Thank
our
you.
Pleasure.
Thanks.
We love to,
Enjoyed
we
meeting
love,
you.
We love to meet all of our new friends on Cat Chat and Dog Talk. Those of you who are listening, first-time listeners to a first-time show, I've been remiss because we have so many calls, Sean, in telling the rest of you that might have caught it late. Here's the number, 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008, and our wonderful engineer, Doug, will grab your call and let us know you're on, just as we know Kim is on line four. Hey, Kim, welcome to Cat Chat and Dog Talk.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
We sure can.
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you for taking my call. I have one of three dogs was diagnosed with heartworm a week ago. A week
wow.
and a half ago.
Okay. Now, was your dog on preventive,
well, I was right.
by the way? Was your dog taking the preventive?
Yes.
Once? Okay.
Wow.
She was on Trifexis.
Okay.
And the assumption is that if either A, I could have missed a dose during the winter months last year because I live in Michigan and it was a really mild winter.
All right.
Or if she spit it out or something. It was on a routine check we found out about the heartworm.
Wow. I'm shocked. I didn't know this was possible.
Me either.
I mean, really. The thing, I guess, before you tell us some more, which we definitely want to hear, I think, Sean, one of the interesting things to realize about this is that no vaccine is 100% effective and no preventive is 100% effective. You know, it's
yeah, you know,
I mean,
and like I said, I love to talk about heartworm problems because most veterinarians never really tell their clients the whole story about heartworms. So tell me just kind of briefly, because we are getting low on time. Mm-hmm. What's happened, what's been recommended. Let me spend 2 minutes telling everybody the truth about heartworm prevention.
Wonderful.
Okay, it was a routine check. All of her blood work is normal except for the heartworm positive. She had no evidence of microfilaria in her blood either. Her chest x-ray showed mild cardiomegaly, but it wasn't beyond what the veterinarian would have thought.
All right.
They started her on doxycycline.
All right.
As the plan to, and then I gave her a dose of her preventative because she's not going to get treated for a month with the heartworm killing treatment, which sounds kind of horrific.
It's pretty harsh. Yeah.
And I'm calling because I'm wondering, A, is there something else besides this imidacide to treat her with, or is that the only way to kill the worms? And B, if that's it, how can I prep her and make her as healthy as I can to
okay.
go through
excellent.
That?
Excellent. I wish
question.
I had like half an hour just to
great
talk
questions.
About this.
Well, you know what, Sean? Give the cliff notes, and next week we'll start the show with the rest of the
good
story because I want to learn more too.
Okay, let's not forget about that because that'll be really good. So let me just give you kind of a brief synopsis. If she was in my practice, what I would do. If I had a heartworm positive test, and I should tell the listeners, there are different heartworm tests. Some are good. Some are a total waste of time. So we're going to assume, and you can check with your vet, they did a test called an occult heartworm test, correct?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, so if they did
test,
an occult
yes.
heartworm test, that's what you want. Now, if I have a dog that, in my mind, shouldn't be positive on that test, in other words, your dog's been on prevention, maybe you missed a month or two, but you've been pretty good about prevention, in my mind, the first thing I'm thinking of is the test is wrong. Now, the test is a really good test. So wrong tests for heartworm treatments or heartworm testing doesn't happen often. But the first thing I do is come back a few weeks later and retest the blood. If the test is still positive, then I'm going to say, okay, it's a positive test. As far as treatment, the doxycycline is fine. You got to kind of help kill some of the bacteria in the worm's body, which will make the imidacide treatment work better. Unfortunately, I don't have, and I get asked this all the time in my practice and on the radio show, I don't have a proven, safe, effective therapy other than imidacide to help kill the adult worms. Now, having said that, I don't just do conventional medicine for heartworm therapy. I do a lot of supplements, and that will depend upon what stage of heartworm disease the pet has, the stage of health, the age of the pet, et cetera. But minimal, I do liver support. I actually use a product called Liver Support by Vet Classics. I will do something homeopathic for the heart, maybe some crolonin, maybe some cactus homeopathically, something like that. I will use some cardiac glandular supplements. I'll use some coenzyme Q10. We've been pushing fish oil all night. That's also anti-inflammatory. Heartworms cause a lot of inflammation, so double, triple, quadruple the labeled dose of most fish oils will start. And I'll start doing that right now as we prepare for the imidacide therapy. And if you listen next week, because literally we can spend a whole show talking about this, I want to talk about the heartworm prevention, how it really works, why it's really important to give it every month, and what might happen if you don't give it every month, as you found out. So if the vet's comfortable, the heartworm test is really positive, and this other testing, the heart, the chest x-ray, et cetera, is positive, then yeah, let's go ahead and say your dog really does have heartworms. Build the pet's body up. Start using some of these supplements I recommended. If you have a holistic vet there, that's fine. And I should also mention, not just to toot my own horn, but if our listeners don't have holistic vets in their area, holistic doctors like myself do phone appointments every day, so you can go to my website, petcarenatural.com, and contact us. And we can do some of this stuff alongside your conventional doctor doing what he needs to do for your dog.
That's there's a ton of things I want to say about that, Kim. First of all, I want to say I'm really sorry that this happened to you. And there you are living in Michigan, not in the deep south, which I've always thought is where all the heartworm is. I'd be very freaked out, too. I'm more freaked out than you are because I'm like the biggest dope right now on the planet. I am not treating my dogs for heartworm in the winter in Vermont. Hello, it's just as cold as Michigan.
Hello, girlfriend.
I thought that it had to be like the summer with mosquitoes. And if there aren't mosquitoes around to bite them, and now next week Sean's going to fill me in on what a total idiot I am, I'm going to run into my closet and get out the heart guard. But, like, is it – I don't know. Maybe I have festering heartworms in my dogs right now. The other thing is it's a lung disease, right? The worms are in the lungs. Is that right, Sean? Or
yeah, basically the heartworms are called heartworms because when this was first diagnosed in the 70s, they did autopsies on dogs and wild dogs, wolves, et cetera, and they found all these worms in the heart. So obviously we're going to call them heartworms. In reality, most pets, like your dog, probably doesn't have a severe heartworm infection, so the worms are mainly in the lungs. And they only occur in the heart when the dogs are so loaded with these worms in the lungs, they back up in the heart. So as Tracy pointed out, most of the pathology from the disease and also from the imidacide treatment actually occurs in the lungs. Mm-hmm. So we have to really do a lot of lung support, anti-inflammatory support, which sometimes means some steroids, to prevent these dying worms as they die through the imidacide treatment from causing a lot of lung problems. That's the main issue.
Well, you know, Kim, this is really the important thing is that you wanted to know how to prepare your dog to make your dog healthy enough to take this very harsh treatment. It's a great question. And because you have a good vet who you like and trust, they're not holistic. But by law, a vet can't treat your dog unless they have them right in front of them in the exam room, unless there's another veterinarian. And then Dr. Sean's work would like piggyback on the conventional medicine. So I think it's wonderful that you asked and that Dr. Sean is familiar with this problem and knows the supplements that will boost your dog's immune system and response to the harsh treatment.
So can I call or contact you, Dr. Sean, and then I can order supplements that you can then send to me?
Okay. So the way these little phone appointments work, like Tracy said, is – ideally, it would be great to have your pet there. We can't always do that. So you go to petcarenatural.com. There's information on doing phone appointments or becoming a new client. Call our office up. The number's on petcarenatural.com. And we will get you or your vet to send me whatever information is pertinent to the diagnosis, any other health problems your dog has, current blood testing, etc. And then we can talk about, here are some supplements I would recommend. If you were here in person, we'd be sending your dog home with these. Otherwise, obviously, you're not there, so we'll mail them to you. And so once I know what your vet's plan is, any other drugs the dog's on, then we can supplement mm-hmm. safely. It won't interfere with what your doctor is going to do. It will actually enhance what your doctor is going to do. Your doctor, though, is still the main doctor. We have to make that clear. So any drugs and things your doctor needs to do. You can always ask me about them and my thoughts on them, but he's the one that has to oversee the case, and we just integrate some of these wonderful natural therapies to make the treatment as effective as possible, but also, as Tracy pointed out, as safe as possible for your dog.
Okay. Well, we just found out we have to figure out when we have to pause when people are talking. We didn't have this problem before, but we're learning. And I just want to say that we have a little extra time. Dog, our engineer, has touched us with the fairy wand that says, because it's our first show and we're having such a great time with calls, we can finish as thoroughly as we want to with Kim, which is really a treat. And if anyone else wants to call, don't be scared that it's almost the top of the hour. We have some grace period. So the number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. You can see that we're really having fun with a ton of different questions. Kim's not having so much fun. She's really freaked out and scared about her dog going through this treatment. I will say, Kim, that I've heard from people who have adopted dogs from the South. There's these rescue and transports. So many dogs brought up, particularly mm-hmm. from Tennessee and other states. The dogs have heartworm, and they're dogs in weakened conditions to begin with. They are strays, or they've been, you know, not well raised, and they're skinny, and they didn't have good nutrition like your dog has had all that, I'm sure. So, Sean, can you put her mind a little at rest that this treatment, although it's harsh, doesn't quote-unquote kill a dog, but a dog for whom it's a very advanced version of it, and the dog is weak to begin with, yes, it can be, I guess, life-threatening. But am I right in saying that it's going to be tough for the dog to go through it, but the dog will withstand the treatment, correct?
Yeah, and usually, you know, Kim, if your dog is in pretty good health, knock on wood, there shouldn't mm-hmm. really be any side effects other than maybe a little bit of pain or swelling from the imidacide injection, because this is something that sounds kind of horrible, but it has to be given deep in one of the back muscles. That's where you have to give it. And I will promise you, most of the pets that I treat are sore that day or the next day. But once again, we have wonderful conventional pain medicines. We have natural homeopathics and herbs, so we can deal with that. I haven't had any pets get severely ill. I will tell you that probably 20% of them do pant, sometimes for several hours, sometimes for many hours after the therapy, and that's just a side effect of the drug. We don't know what happens with that, but it somehow induces panting in dogs. Now, as Tracy pointed out, if your dog has stage 4 heartworm disease, which means they're probably dying in front of you, yeah, the treatment's really tough, but you got to do it anyway. So you're already off to a good start that your pets are healthy. You've kept them healthy with what you're doing. We're going to do some supplements to enhance their health, and I would expect not to have any severe side effects, but maybe, like I said, the pain, inflammation for a day or so, a little panting. And then once that's done, of course, you're already on the preventive now, so we're preventing more disease. I think that's wonderful. Yeah. But if you want, if we've got a minute, even though I won't get into the whole heartworm story because I want to save something for next week, I can kind of talk about why maybe your dog got heartworms if you want to go over
I want to hear that. I want to hear that because I have three dogs sleeping in the other room who I'm just like freaking out. Oh, my God. Can I give the test at home right now?
No. So keep in mind, now I'm in Texas, so heartworm disease and heartworm transmission is a year-round problem here. So we never stop heartworm preventive. Right now it's 40-something degrees outside. There are no mosquitoes. Friday it's going to be 70 degrees. So there goes that. So we don't really get a winter that lasts more than a couple of days in Texas. So in Texas, dogs are on preventive year-round. Up north, I tell people to follow their doctor's advice. If you actually have a winter, it is usually safe to stop the preventive. Now, why did your dog get it? Well, like you said, you missed maybe a couple of months. The way the medicine works, and we can repeat this next week for people that will be joining us, people think that these heartworm medicines stay in the dog's body the entire month. They don't. They stay in the body for a couple of days and they're gone. Oh. If you're using plain oral heartworm prevention, which is what I recommend, I don't like these combination flea and tick and heartworm products because most pets don't need that other stuff.
Correct.
There's more toxins there and they cost more. So if you give your dog a heartworm preventive today and it's bitten by an infected mosquito, it won't get heartworm disease. If you give your dog the heartworm prevention today, and this weekend your dog's bitten by a mosquito, it will develop heartworms. But next month's dose will kill those baby heartworms before they become adult worms. It takes 6 months from the time of a bite to develop adult heartworms. So somewhere in this history, there had to be at least 3 to 4 months in a row of missing a dose or underdosing the dog, or the dog spit it up or didn't absorb it. It's really, really rare for dogs that are on prevention regularly to get heartworm disease, which is why I come back to my first suggestion, make sure the tests have been repeated, especially if there's any question about the history. Could this really have happened or not? So I think if the test is positive and it's truly positive, we've probably missed some doses in there, whether you missed them, the dog missed them because it didn't get the dose or spit it out or the other dog ate it, I don't know. But if it's missed it for at least a few months and it only took the one bite from the mosquito, then yeah, your dog probably has not a lot of heartworms, but probably a few heartworms. And the good news is the fewer the number of heartworms, the less severe the pathology. So that's good news going into the treatment as well.
And that's why, Kim, your doctor now gave you – now I didn't understand why would he give you the preventive now. I felt like it'd be like, you know, using a condom if someone's already pregnant. But Sean just explained it.
Because we want to prevent more worms,
condom failure or something.
You want to prevent more worms. So that's a great idea, actually.
And also you're saying it will kill off some of them, the babies.
It'll kill some. If there's any recent babies, you're right. It's going to do double duty, prevent more worms, which you don't want any more worms, and kill a little bit, not kill the adults, but kill some other little stragglers that aren't quite adults yet. So it's going to help in that respect.
I just was wondering if Sean has in his office the bottle, the jar that every vet I've ever been to, like do they sell this to vets when they open their clinic, the really gross lungs that are full of worms that are like in a mayonnaise jar?
I've got a Doberman Pinscher's heart in my office.
God.
Worms. So anybody that's questionable, and here's the problem as a holistic vet. I do integrative medicine, which means I'm open to conventional medicine. I prefer natural. But I do have about once a month a truly, what I would say, more alternative rather than holistic, but an alternative type client that's against any medicine. And I have to say, look, this is a heart from a dead dog with heartworms. This should have never happened. This could have been prevented with a very inexpensive heartworm pill. Now, if you don't want to give the pill, my only alternative is to have you spend money several times a year and test your dog. But then the question I always ask these people is, if your dog gets heartworms and you don't want to use this very safe drug to prevent it, what are we going to do to treat the worms? Because I don't have a safe drug to treat it. I've got a more toxic drug that we can give safely. Yes. It's a very, very strong drug if you don't use it correctly.
That's really well said. Kim, how old is your pooch?
She's 2.5.
She's just a babe.
And
yes, young.
She's silly. She's an energetic. I have three Labradors, and she's the youngest. She's the runt, and she's the one that's always going, you know, 90 miles an hour. And my next question is, when I talk to you, are there other treatments, herbal type treatments? Because it's 6 weeks of nothing but going out on a leash and coming in and sleeping, from what I understand.
All right, I'm so glad you asked this, because this is so important. I forgot to mention this. So dogs with heartworm infection, which your dog has a heartworm infection, cannot be running around and acting like a normal dog, because they will sometimes, I've actually had this happen, throw a blood clot of these worms, a big bolus of worms, to another part of the lungs, one of the pulmonary arteries, and sometimes those dogs will actually drop over dead. That also happens for about 6 weeks following treatments. And I know nobody wants to keep their dog quiet for 6 weeks or longer, but you really have to do that, because these worms die slowly, and you've got all this inflammation from, number one, the disease, and number two, the drug that kills the worms. Wow. As the worms are dying, you've got inflammation. So I don't have anything to replace the imidacide, but we have a lot of supplements to make it safer for the treatment. Unfortunately, you still have to keep the dog quiet. There's just no way around that.
Well, Kim, here's a thought, because I know your question is going to be, how do I tranquilize her? Because it's like, if you ever have a dog, we have to have an ACL repair on a really jolly dog, or a silly one like your girl. And you're like, couldn't I just put her to sleep for 6 weeks? Because the idea of confining her is enough to make your teeth hurt, right? What about an Adaptil collar, Sean? I'd love to see I really love to see her getting an Adaptil collar. This is a pheromone collar that it can only be bought by a vet, and Dr. Sean is going to have it on petcarenaturally.com in the next day or two. And it's worn close to the skin, and it emits this odor that's from the – it is the – again, it's not an odor because you can't smell it. It's a chemical communicant that was the smell of the mother's lactating milk when they were sucking as babies. And it's extremely calming to dogs. Very, very calming.
I would do that. And also when we have our phone consult, remind me, we'll talk about some stress away treats. You use them both together. Very inexpensive, very, very effective. And it's not going to tranquilize her, but it's going to try to take the edge off of her a little bit. Now, she's a young dog. She's crazy. She wants to play and have fun. And you don't want to sedate her, but I will tell you, I've had some dogs in my practice that for 6 weeks, we did actually use some sedative because it was safer for the dog to do that than have them potentially kill themselves running around. So start, like Tracy said, easy stuff, natural things first. Then you can always do other things if we need to.
Yeah, see if the Adaptil collar doesn't give her like a little more of a chilled out feeling. I mean, it's usually used for dogs that have separation anxiety or thunderstorm phobia or, you know, extreme emotional swings. But it's also kind of like I've heard it described as the Linus blanket. It's just like, I'm okay, you're okay. And going through all this, you know, vet visits and having to be kept on a leash, that with many of the supplements that Sean can provide you with is going to make it a lot easier. Do you have some kind of a tranquilizer that Kim could take? Because she's really nervous.
I know.
Well, you could try that pheromone collar yourself, but I don't think that's going to work so well.
But just know about the pheromone collar that it goes on and it stays on. It never comes off for the 30 days, and it's worn quite snug to the skin because it's your dog's body heat that will activate this odor, okay? So all those things you can find on petcarenaturally.com. And is there a place right on your website, Sean, where people can then speak with you by email and then by actual
talk
telephone?
About there's a little link on the left-hand side that talks about our practice or our hospital. Click on that. It'll give you a phone number you can call. We can give you information.
Fantastic. Kim, we're so glad to meet you. We're really sorry you're going through this, but really grateful to have my wonderful partner, Dr. Sean, because he's so knowledgeable about things that I would just not only couldn't help you with, but I couldn't even help myself. And I'm going to be like immediately going and chewing some heart guard myself tonight. Thank you so much for your call. Have a great night.
Thank you.
Sean, take care, sweetheart. The number is 888-627-6008. Anybody else that wants to come along and just say hi to us, and we're thrilled you're listening. And if you have any kinds of questions about dogs or cats, we're here for you. Sean, I understand that those triple pills, the trifexis, is something that I've never heard a veterinarian that I know speak highly of. But is the chewable, any of the chewables fine, the HeartGuard and other brands? Do you have one that you like better than another?
The one that I sell the most of is Iverheart, which is basically a generic version of HeartGuard. It's quite a bit cheaper. It's equally effective. But truthfully, HeartGuard, Iverheart, Interceptor, any of those things are fine. The main thing is you've got to give the correct dose, because if your dog's kind of borderline on the weight change, you underdose it, you're wasting money. And as we found out, that may not be effective. And then as long as you're giving it as close to every 30 days, I should point out a lot of my clients that are holistic will say, well, what if we tried to give it every 45 days? We really don't want to give it every 30 days. They're still scared of the drugs. Even though I've told them it doesn't last in the body 30 days, they're still scared of that. And all I can tell people is the further you get from 30 days, the less effective the drug.
Right.
And most importantly, most if not all of the major heartworm manufacturers actually guarantee their product if you do two things. You've got to give it every 30 days, not every 45 days, and you have to buy it from your veterinarian, not from the internet, not from Walmart. Because I actually had a dog in our practice that turned up positive, which we didn't expect. And the two questions the manufacturer asked me is, can you prove this dog, this owner bought the medicine from your practice, which we could, and was the dog getting it every month? And we could prove that because, you know, every 6 months the dog owner would come buy the product. And as long as we could prove that, the whole cost of everything we did was totally free to this owner. But otherwise, if you're trying to save costs, you don't want to do that. Heartworm treatment costs about $1,000 and up if you do it correctly. That's a lot of money that you shouldn't have to spend. So get the product from your doctor and make sure you're giving it monthly, not every month and a half or 2 months.
This is really interesting on another topic, and we have to read this question about early spay and neuter from Sharon in Las Vegas, since Doug has given us this grace time. I just want to ask you something or point out something that I think people aren't aware of.
Right.
I have always been extremely opposed to 1-800 get cheaper drugs but make your doctor write a prescription. I think it is the most rude and vulgar thing to do to your veterinarian. I say this in the dog Bible and the cat Bible. It's like, okay, so you went to vet school and you went into debt for $150,000 and you're running a clinic and you have all the overhead. And you want me to do what again? Just not even have a vet visit, write you a prescription so you can save $5 and get something over in the mail? Well, the things that are sold in the mail, there's tons of bogus products out there, whether it's topicals against parasites or these HeartGuard. I mean, if you think about the kinds of things that can be made in China, in 5 minutes they can make a copy of anything. It's like, you know, downtown on Canal Street or whatever it is in New York City, whichever street it is, they can do a copy of a Fendi bag in like 5 minutes. Well, they can do a copy of HeartGuard or Iverheart or any of these drugs, and you don't know what you're giving. I mean, anything can be counterfeited. So one of the reasons that the companies that make these products want you to buy through the vet is both to protect the vet's income, because Sean is not going to go and retire and live in Costa Rica from selling the Iverheart or the HeartGuard. But it is part of what you do, right, Sean? It's part of the advice you give and the support you give. But I didn't realize that in addition, if an animal who has been taking the protection regularly should get ill anyway, the company stands behind it to that degree. That is dramatic.
And that's one of the reasons I encourage people. You know, you can save some money on the internet, but as Tracy said, you get what you pay for. I've seen
stuff
from the internet come not in the original package.
I have
no idea what this stuff is. And it's like, why are you giving that to your pet? And then, of course, you bear the responsibility, because if anything happens, there's nothing I can do for you. I can't lie and go to bat for people. So I think it's worth the extra money. Look at it like insurance, that at least the companies, they know their products work so well if you use them correctly. As long as you get them through your doctor, they're willing to stand behind those things. And I know, we have overhead. We have to pay for that. But you're also developing that relationship with your doctor, and I think that's so important.
It's essential, and it's something that I feel very strongly about, and I deeply respect the years that a doctor like Sean has put into not only training and then continuing training, but every single day you learn something new, and you bring that knowledge to the next animal, and there's subtleties, and particularly because you're a holistic vet, and there's such an enormous array of choices that you have in what you can offer people. It's that depth of knowledge and the choices you make in what you carry and what you can dispense and what you offer. It's all based on seeing it work over, you know, a lifetime of having a clinic. So it's a very important message. And just quickly, selfishly, do I need now, in the depth of winter when it's, you know, this morning it was 13 degrees, do I need to test my dogs before giving them their HeartGuard? Do they get HeartGuard in the middle of the winter anyway?
Well, how long ago did you stop giving them the medication, the preventive?
I stopped in November, but there might have been some warm days. I didn't see mosquitoes, but that's pretty ignorant of me to say.
Well, testing them right now wouldn't help. This is a really good example, because it takes 6 months from the time of the bite before they get the disease. Now, should you start it now? Well, I don't want everybody to be scared based on one phone call, okay?
Right.
If your veterinarian's general recommendation is, look, we've got winter for 3 or 4 months. Yeah, we may have one day that gets a little bit warm, but basically we've got winter for 3 or 4 months, so we don't usually recommend doing the heartworm medicine over the winter. I'm okay with that recommendation. I'm also okay with owners that say, well, but you know, it's kind of been a warm winter this year, and the weather's kind of funny. Keep them on it year-round. It doesn't hurt the dog. And the one problem I do have with stopping over the winter, and like I said, I don't live up north, so this is not a big issue for me. What happens when it gets warm and you're not used to giving it every month because it's been so cold, and you just kind of forget and you start in the summer? So that's my only hang-up. But as far as stopping it, if it's truly cold, you're safe. If you want to give it every month just to stay in that routine, you're safe too. I think either way is fine.
But let's say November, maybe they were in jeopardy. If one were to start again in, say, March, then one should have the blood test again regardless of March.
Well,
or April,
I would have the blood test done at least once a year. So if you started again in March, I would certainly do it before you stop again at the end of the year or in November, because the blood test in March might not pick up an infection that started in November. But if you waited until later in the year, it would tell you that. So as long as you're getting the PET tested once a year, which in my practice, I won't even sell the preventive without a once-a-year test. And once again, we're in Texas. I'm way more concerned about this disease than the further you get away from the southern areas and the Gulf Coast. But my personal opinion, I think it's malpractice not to test dogs and cats. My cats get heartworm preventive too, at least once a year, just in case something happened we're not prepared for.
Yeah, that's extremely good advice, and I'm going to take it and be
sure. So don't be scared. So you're going to be fine. Your dogs are
okay, fine. I won't be scared, but I feel bad for Kim, and I'm like, oh, my God, thank you, Kim, for alerting me to
bringing that up. All right. That's a great call.
Yeah, I mean, it's a super call. Okay, Sharon in Las Vegas has a great question, one that I have been actually waiting. The AKC has podcasts of various lectures on topics, and I've saved the one on early spay and neuter. Because I know there's so much debate about, is it okay that so many shelters and rescues are spaying and neutering little teeny tiny baby puppies and kittens? So here's Sharon's question.
Good.
My question's about early cat neutering. In your opinion, meaning yours and mine, but I defer to you completely on this, does it really stunt their growth if done at 10 weeks and not 6 months? I have two ragdoll boy cats who are supposed to be a very large breed, which is why I wanted two. One was fixed at 6 months old and had a big head and big feet at 4 months old, and at a year old was 15 pounds. The other was fixed at 10 weeks old and never got that big head or paws, and from 8 to 12 months old, never gained anything in weight or size. At 12 months old, he is still 11 pounds as he was at 8 months old and isn't thin, eats, just doesn't grow. His breeder says he comes from a big line and the early neuter should not make a difference in his size, but I think it has. I read two different thoughts on the internet about this. Most breeders and rescue places are all early neutering the cats between 8 and 12 weeks. Now you have no choice. Please share your thoughts about this topic with me. And thank you, Sharon Las Vegas, for writing it into us. Where do you stand on that, Sean?
All right. Well, it is true that the shelters are doing it younger ages, so we can't really change that. That's just something that's going to happen if you get a pet from a shelter, which I do recommend, by the way. So, all right, here are my thoughts. Pets usually won't develop sexual maturity and secondary sex characteristics, that the size, the increased size that goes along with that, until earliest about 6 months for cats and small dogs, 12 to sometimes 24 months for bigger dogs.
Yes.
Personally, I usually spay and neuter about 4 to 5 months of age. I see some pets as young as 8 weeks of age, but to be honest with you, as I'm getting older, I don't have the best eyesight anymore, and I use a lot of magnification for surgery, but I like things to be a little bit bigger and easier to see.
Yes.
So I'm kind of selfish. So it doesn't really matter to me. I think the further you get out from 4 to 5 months, you stand the chance of the pet going into heat early, which we try not to do because of the breast cancer risk with dogs and cats, the female dogs and cats. But if I do have a client that once in a while will say, you know, I've got a Labrador, and I really want him to be big before we neuter him. Okay, so 2 years of age, we'll neuter him. Now, I will tell the owner, if you have, or I'm talking about him, but a male or female, say, bigger dog that you want us to neuter or spay at 2 to 3 years of age, the cost goes way up because we're dealing with a 100-pound dog versus a 30-pound puppy. And it's a lot harder surgery for me. Actually, I won't even do the surgery. I have a surgeon that'll come in and do it, and
really?
He's not cheap to do it. Well, I don't want to spay a 100-pound Labrador. I don't have 8 hours to do a spay.
Good
so
for you.
I'm not going to do that. And truthfully, when the surgeon comes into my practice and does a 100-pound Labrador spay, it's about a $2,000 spay. So we don't want to do that if we can avoid it.
Whoa.
But that's what happens when you've got a huge uterus, huge ovaries, huge blood vessels. When I have a larger dog that's a more mature male dog, I will warn the owners after neutering – expect to have sometimes some very significant swelling of the scrotal area because of the tiny little blood vessels in the covering of the testicle that you just can't see and tie off. So much fewer side effects when they're puppies and kittens, easier to do, much less expensive. But if you just want a bigger pet for whatever reason, you've got to go through the sexual maturity thing. Otherwise, I don't think there are any health benefits. And I've seen a number of studies saying there really aren't any health benefits. Do you have anything contradictory to that, Tracy, or are you on board
with that? That's extremely well said. And I didn't realize the different challenges in the surgery. I do understand that doing them when they're teeny tiny, especially if they're a small breed cat or dog, you do need magnifying glasses. I mean, you need special tools. Everything is
really
so teeny tiny, like miniature. But the issue of the large head in many, especially purebred dogs, you're looking for a big head, whether it's a Mastiff or a Rottweiler. Some dogs, that's part, or even big Golden Retrievers, that massive blocky head or just, Goldens, whatever, it's part of the look. So to neuter early I think she's had this experience with her ragdoll. I think Sharon is right that one that was neutered so early, the hormones that come with puberty and then influence external look. I mean, look at a stallion. Anyone who knows horses, look at the coat on a stallion. Look at the mane and the tail. Look at the musculature in the neck. And even if you have a proud cut or a late cut horse, they can sometimes retain those stallion like looks because they were neutered late as a horse. I will say, yes, I've heard contradictory things that have yet to be proven, because to be a peer-reviewed, properly done study of it would be very difficult, that in early neutering of a large breed dog, you mess up the issue of when do the joints finish forming. And the dogs, because at between 6 and 12 months, apparently – the growth hormone that comes with the sexual hormones tells the bones and the joints when to stop growing. It doesn't stop. So what happens is that while you may not get some of the sexual characteristics, you get dogs that are too long-legged, or proportionally their legs, either the upper part or the lower part of the leg is too long, and that's why you're seeing so many ACL tears. There's an epidemic of dogs. Every single dog I've rescued, they were all neutered young, and I've had one after another of these expensive and torturous, terrible repairs of their knee cartilage. Mm-hmm. There have been a couple of looks at it that if you have a purebred dog or a mixed breed dog that somehow isn't neutered, but it's going to be a large breed, that if you can wait till 12 months and you're a responsible owner and you're not letting your dog copulate with other dogs, needless to say, it's a dog that's never loose around, other dogs that it can inseminate if it's a male or be impregnated by if it's a female, you will, I guess, give them a better they get a better bony structure. It's more appropriate to their size if they're larger. It's a complicated issue because –
I don't think it's definitely a right or wrong thing. I mean, for me, I want to try to prevent breast cancer. And the one problem you've got to, and this is just people being lazy, if you tell owners, well, let's wait till 12 months, it's kind of like the heartworm thing we were talking about. Well, okay, it's 12 months, the owner forgets, something else has come up, now the dog's 15 and has testicular cancer and perianal cancer, and gee, we could have prevented all that with neutering as a puppy, which we meant to do, but we kind of forgot, so we put it off. So for me, looking at all the pets in my practice, yeah, we see the joint problems, yeah, we see this, yeah, we see that. But in general, I think the pets seem to do well with early spaying and neutering. Once again, I tend to do 4 or 5 months. Some vets do 6 months. I think that's kind of cutting it close for some of the females with the breast cancer thing. So I think it's a good topic that Tracy's brought up. It's a good question that we had. And I think it's a good thing to talk to your vet about. And, the one thing I would tell people, as you listen to me on the radio, you listen to Tracy, we try to approach both sides of the topic. And that's really the way I talk to my clients. Right. I don't want to tell someone you have to neuter your pet or spay your pet by 4 months of age. I'll tell them my rationale. If they bring up some of these other points, we'll discuss it. But ultimately, you get to make the decision because you're responsible for your decision. I just tell you what I do with my pets and what I recommend, but I respect there may be a difference of opinion. And hey, if there is, at least understand these 5 points. So if this happens later in life, you can say, well, I understand that happened because of the decision I made, but I'm still okay with that decision. I think that's perfect.
I think that's really well put. And I think it really, we aren't trying to dictate to anybody. I personally am trying to dictate about Kitty Crack. I am trying to say
I understand what you're saying.
Really feed wet food.
I agree with that.
But and you did, and I appreciate that. But I really think you're so right. People have to understand what goes into the decision making and not just blindly accept our thoughts or even their own vet's thoughts, to really digest it and think what works for my lifestyle. Because if you're going to be that person who, oops, I forgot that my dog has testicles, it's like, really? Yeah, well, there's – and then he's humping everything that moves.
Yeah, that's for sure.
That's for darn sure, and neither will the girl next door because couldn't see her ovaries. Of course, in that case, it would be horrific to, you know, just have random puppies happening. And one of the reasons that spay and neuter has worked so well is that the population has, in fact, really dropped in a lot of the shelters in areas where spay and neuter has been really successful. But it's still a great question, because if you're that person who, you know, went out of your way to have a purebred dog, even if you got them from rescue, and you have no desire to reproduce, you know, to replicate them, but just to let them become their own full physical self, that becomes a big personal responsibility issue, but one that you're entitled to make. I think we should close with just like the strangest thing in the world. Alice Villalobos, who I don't know if you know her, but she's a great oncologist and a swell lady, and her husband and she have an old English bulldog. Okay. So it's like this massive kind of a bulldog. It's a purebred, but it's called the Oldie English. And her husband, who walks the dog all the time on the beach in Venice, California, where they live, just couldn't stand the idea of his dog being de-balled, even though he understood that from a cancer perspective, it was essential. I don't know how that dog would even reproduce with something else. It's so massive. So they actually put into their dog something I thought was a gag, nudicles.
Nudicles, okay.
They put nudicles in this dog who has a name like Zorro or something. So he has what look to be balls, but they're like a woman getting fake breasts. They're fake balls. So if any of you have thought, you know, I just don't like the look of a guy without his balls clanking around, I personally think it's, you know, we can get used to not seeing balls, and then balls are shocking. But that's there true. Are nudicles. So
no,
if
hey,
that's
I've got a
how
funny
you
story
feel,
to tell you, too. I'm glad you brought that up. Here's my neuter story. Okay. So many, many years ago, I was working for another veterinarian just out of school, had a lady who came in with two Shelties, and one of them actually had a very large testicular tumor. So I said, okay, most of these are not cancer. Some are. We won't know till we neuter your dog and biopsy this tumorous testicle. Let's set that up. She goes, my husband will never agree to neuter this dog. I said, so he understands this tumor could be cancerous and kill the dog. She goes, he won't neuter the dog whether it's cancer or not. I said, okay, well, that's kind of sad, but all right, that's fine. I understand, even though I totally disagree with this male thing about I've got balls, the dog needs to have balls. I think that's stupid, but okay, that's fine.
Right.
So I said, okay, you know, as long as you know your husband's attitude might kill your dog. She goes, I understand, he won't go for it. Okay, fine. A few months go by, she comes back in. She said, I'm ready to neuter the dog. I said, oh, you're able to talk your husband into this. She said, no, my husband was out jogging a few weeks ago and dropped over dead. I want the dog neutered. So the sad news is, I know you laughed. The sad news is her husband died, but it took the husband to die to neuter the dog, which I think is so sad, even though when I tell this story, people laugh. But
you
can you imagine
so
not
absurd.
Wanting to neuter your dog to save its life? That just makes
oh
no sense.
God.
And it's so sad the man died, but the dog got the testicle out and lived and did fine.
And was it cancer?
You know, it was so long ago, I don't remember, but most of them aren't, or at least it's a low-grade cancer. But still, you've got to get those out, because even these low-grade cancers eventually spread. And, of course, it's uncomfortable for the dog having a testicle three times the size
Thank
of its other
you.
One.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that is the most bizarre and peculiar story. And then one has to wonder, well, was the husband someone that was just anti-doctor and hadn't been to the doctor himself?
I just think he liked the dog having testicles.
I think he did, too. Yes,
you know, I think a lot of guys, if you neuter their pets, it's like you're neutering them.
And we just want to put this out as the end of our very first show of Cat Chat and Dog Talk. Do not over-identify with your dog's testicles, okay?
No.
Just take a step back. Their health is what you have to worry about, and you just worry about what's inside your own shorts.
And it's just a testicle. It's not the end of the world.
That's right. Exactly. Sean, this has been an absolute treat and a delight. We're so grateful to everyone who called in on our very first show.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah. Not so easy to figure out how to find us first time around, but I think that will change with time. We look forward to talking to you every single Tuesday night at the exact same time, 8 p.m. East, 5 West, 7 Central, which is where Sean lives. Sean, this is just a delight, and I look forward to having a wonderful year ahead and many years ahead of that with you. Thank you so much.
And I hope also some of our callers will call back next week to let us know how our advice worked for them and kind of educate us at the same time.
Absolutely. Yes, we want it to be an ongoing dialogue. We're all a big cat and dog loving family here. So come and hang out with us every Tuesday night. Have a great night, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye for now.